Hello, this is Jeff Buckles of Two Roads, Two Destinies Ministries. We're in Genesis chapter 18. We've sort of switched gears here. We're looking at Abraham, and we're going to look at Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot here with our time together as we close up here. Now, we'll begin reading at verse 23 at the intercession of Abraham for Sodom and Gomorrah, not for the city itself, not for the nations themselves, but for those who were righteous in them. And we're going to see how he begins to speak to God. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for all that you've taught us. We thank you for these people that you have sent before, that we might look at them and we might learn. Lord, we thank you that you have not changed one bit today from what you were like in that day. And Lord, that today you are saving the righteous. You're saving those that are your children, who you have saved and made righteous in the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that alone. And Lord, that for that reason, Lord, you have not just totally judged this world, but that you have those who are yours, those who you have yet to save, Father, and those who you have yet to bring to yourself, Lord, and it would be a travesty against them to destroy this very world even now. But Father, we thank you that you are a righteous God, that you are real, and that you do love those that are yours, Lord. And as we look at these examples and these people, we just pray that you might touch our hearts. And if there's any that are unsaved out there today, Lord, if they realize that you're not judging them because you're weak, it's not because you're weak that you're not judging them. It's not because you just love them no matter what, Lord, but it's because you have a bigger purpose in mind, Father, and you're being long-suffering today. Just pray today that you might bring them to yourself. Pray that you might open their eyes with your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Abraham is told by God that he's going down and he's going to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. He's going to rain judgment down upon them. And Abraham knows that Lot and his family's in Sodom and Gomorrah because you remember, if you've been with us for some time, that Abraham had saved Lot and his family, the whole nations of Sodom and Gomorrah, from the kings who had came in and took over them, and that Lot had went back with them, and he's living in Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham knows he's there, and the New Testament tells us that Lot was a righteous man. Let me read that verse to you. I got to find it here. Okay, it's in 2 Peter, now, chapter 2, verse 6. If he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man, who was distressed with the filthy lives of the lawless men, for that righteous man, living among them day after day, was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. Now, this is the NIV. I know that you probably noticed the difference between it and the King James Version, but it's translated righteous man. I really like that. Here, Abraham is stepping in for those who are righteous. And it tells us in 2 Peter that Lot was a righteous man. He was a man who was saved. He was a man who had trusted God. Now, remember, he had left with Abraham from the Ur of the Chaldees, and he had came out with him. Even though he was not a recipient of the direct promise and of the direct covenant, he believed God nevertheless, and he went along with Abraham. But we see also that Lot decided he wanted to live the way he wanted to live, where he wanted to live. And though he was a righteous man, it didn't stop him from sinning, and it didn't stop him from going for the best things in life. And that's exactly what he did. And now we're going to see the price that he has to pay for going for this. Well, Abraham, knowing all this, knowing that Lot's down there, knowing that his family's there, he begins to intercede. He said, if there are 50 in that city that are righteous, Lord, will you destroy and not spare the place for 50? Well, he says, be it far from you after this manner to slay the righteous with the wicked. The righteous would be as the wicked. That is far from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Abraham stands in and what is it based on? How does he come to God to intercede for those that are doomed, those who are going to be judged? He comes based on the character of God. We find that true with Moses also. When he came to God, God was about to destroy the children of Israel out in the wilderness, and he says, I'm fed up with these people. I've had enough of your people, Moses. I'm going to wipe them out, and I'm going to make of you a new nation. And Moses comes to God based on his own character, and he says, God, remember, they're your people, and you're the one who delivered them, and you're the one to who they belong. And are you going to destroy these, your people? Of course, God didn't do it. And the same way, God's not going to destroy the righteous here based on his own character. Abraham knew that when he interceded, and this is a good thing to remember in our prayers, we base them on the character of God, we base them on the word of God, we base them on what we know of God. Well, Abraham knew that God would not destroy the righteous with the wicked here. And he bases his intercession on the character of God. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? If God's not the kind of judge that's just going to come in and say, well, this place is corrupt, I'm going to destroy it. No, he examines all the facts, and he examines all of those, and he makes sure that there are no good with the bad so that he could separate the two before he judges. Where the Lord says, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous, I'll spare the place for their sakes. Well, Abraham says again, because he knows in his heart of hearts, if this is true, he's already seen these people, they're doomed. They ain't going to find 50 amongst them. Now I've taken upon me to speak to you, Lord, but I'm dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Will you destroy the city for the lack of 5? Well, he had set a precedent, 50. And then he says, what if there's 5 left? If I find 45 there, God says, I won't destroy it. Abraham says, now I take upon me yet again to speak. Peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I'll not do it for 40's sake. And he said to him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall be 30 found there. And he said, I'll not do it if I find 30 there. He started out in 5, said what God was going to do. And he jumps to 10, and he's got it down to 30 now. 30 people. Abraham says, behold, now I've taken it upon me to speak to the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. God says, I'll not destroy it for 20's sake. Abraham says, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. This is my last request, God, if there's 10 found there. God says, if I find 10, I won't destroy it. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left the meeting with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. Now, Abraham had talked God down to 10 people. Out of 2 nations, as we looked at, there were 2 kings, their cities also, because of 2 Peter, that these were just huge cities. They had to have been vast in their expanse and in their size. And now he says, I'm going to spare them if I find 10 righteous amongst them. Abraham had interceded on account of these people, because he knew that Lot was in there. He knew that the family was in there. And he would like to see, and it also shows us the love of Abraham for people, for his neighbors. He didn't want to see people just destroyed and judged by God. And you know, a lot of times as Christians, we just feel like, Lord, won't you please just take care of this thing? Won't you rain fire down from heaven and judge this old wicked world? Won't you just end it all and take us to heaven to be with you? And you see, we forget. God loves people, and we should love people. It's not that the unsaved are hated, but God's righteous, and he has to judge. And we should probably be more like, well, we should definitely be more like Abraham, and we should intercede for those who are lost. We should be praying for those who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, who don't really even want to know him, who have chosen to go their own way, regardless. Well, now Abraham gets him down to 10. What's going to happen? Let's look at chapter 19 and verse 1. And there came 2 angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, arose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground, and he said, behold now, my lords, Turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your way. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed on them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and he entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. Now here we come, the angels. Notice it's two angels. In our last story, we saw how that Abraham had stopped and held back and talked to God, had bargained with God. Now God has went back up to heaven. And the two angels that were with him continue on into the city of Sodom. Well, they meet Lot in the gate of Sodom. Now what is the significance of this? It is this. When a man sat in the gate in the Old Testament times, that meant that he was one of those who were important in the city. He was a person of some authority and of some wealth. Well, here Lot sits in the gate of the city of Sodom. He had came to a place of prominence in this city. We remember that when he first began to pitch his tent towards Sodom, it was for the reason that him and Abraham had too many animals and too many flocks and herds, and they couldn't dwell together. So Lot was a rich man. And he comes down into Sodom, and he has these riches with him, and now he's sitting in the gate. But we see him as one who is important in the city of Sodom. And he bows his face toward the ground. He had noticed immediately when he saw these two angels that there was something different. And he immediately, knowing the nature of the city of Sodom, begins to ask them to come into his house and to stay with him all night. He knew what these Sodomites would do to these people. The very word Sodom, he tells us, they would have raped these two men, as it had told us before this. They were angels, but they were in the form of men. Well, these Sodomites, being homosexuals, they would have raped these two men. And Lot knows this, and he comes up and he says, Lord, pray you, come into my house and stay with me. I don't know, maybe he had seen them coming down from the area of Abraham. But you notice he cooks them unleavened bread, and he makes them a feast. That's interesting also that later on we find out that leaven speaks to us of sin. And here Lot knows what kind of bread to make for these people. And he says to them, now I want you to stay with me all night, and tomorrow go on back on your way. And they said, no. We're going to stay in the street tonight. Well, he pressed on them greatly. You know, this shows us something of the righteousness of Lot. Lot, knowing what would happen to these men, didn't want them out in that street that night. No matter what kind of men, where they were from, he wanted them with him where it was safe. So he makes them a great feast and bakes unleavened bread, and they eat with him. Now, the angels, we're going to have to stop here, but the angels are coming. They're going to judge the city. But right now, they're sitting in the house with Lot, waiting. We're waiting to find out what's going to happen here. And we're going to drop the story off here, but we're going to take it up the next time that we're together. And like a brother J. Vernon McGee used to say, here's a cliffhanger. It's a good time to stop the story. And if you want to find out what happens, you can read. And be with us the next time we're together in Genesis 19. This is Jeff Buckles of Two Roads to Two Destinies Ministry saying goodbye.
Thank you, Jeff, for being with us this whole week, studying Old Testament Bible characters. And next week, we'll have one of the other brethren lead the study. So join us at 1 o'clock, Monday to Friday, the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry.